It's time to get brutally honest.
You guys strapped on feed bags at 6 o'clock and just
went comatose. No, it was the 5 o'clock hour that we ate, and at the 6 o'clock hour, we fell asleep on you.
The food had nothing to do with me.
Dude, if you don't think the food factored in, you are delusional.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Tim Legler will join us, ESPN NBA analyst, in about 5 minutes, teeing up Game 5 tonight back in Golden State. Golden State saying all the right things, but I doubt they were expecting Cleveland to play the way they did on Friday night. You got to give it up to the Cavs. I thought they would melt down. I thought they would get smoked. I thought they would just fade away and say, it's over. We're not even going to show up tonight.
Right.
They shot the lights out. They played really well. LeBron was brilliant. J.R. Smith was hitting shots. Kyrie Irving played really well. I'm not sure they have it in them again tonight. I think Golden State more than likely wins. But if Cleveland wins tonight, you got to get back on a bird, back to Cleveland, and it's 3-2.
Yeah.
Then you start to discuss the idea that Golden State is at least thinking about the choke.
Yeah.
Thinking about choking again, because they did blow a 3-1 lead this time last year. So we'll see what Tim has to say about that.
They're winning tonight.
You think they're going to win tonight?
Unfortunately, I do, because I want Cleveland to win.
Now I want Cleveland to win. Now that history is thrown out the window, go ahead.
Yeah, but I wanted Cleveland to win the whole time. I don't know why. I just like LeBron. I think LeBron's awesome, but I was so mad at Kevin Love the other day because I think he was throwing bricks up.
You hate Kevin
Love.
I
hate him. I just, there's something about him. Like, I don't think he grinds through.
He's got a rep of being a guy. Yeah, like, I think he's just set. He's in a perfect situation. He hangs out behind LeBron, behind Kyrie Irving. If
not a whole lot of pressure.
No. No one's going to blame Kevin Love other than Noodles.
They kept dishing to him. He was like 1-for-9. Just throwing bricks up when they needed. They went on that. Golden State went on that 11-0 run.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Love was, they kept throwing it at him, and he was...
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, if that didn't happen, it's 2-2. Like, it's easy to say it now, because who knows the way Game 4 would have played out if Golden State lost Game 3. Maybe they changed their game plan, and everything works out differently. But we were this close to 2-2 going back for an epic Game 5.
I know.
Instead, it's 3-1, and it still feels lopsided, and it doesn't feel possible that
right.
Golden State could blow a 3-0 lead. So, we'll tee that up a little bit later on. A lot of people buzzing about the amount of Jays fans in Seattle over the weekend, and a couple people tweeting and texting in about the idea that Vancouver would get a team. And
well, Steve said that. Steve Phillips said that.
Right. And I think it was Trevor from Victoria said, hey, pump the brakes, Steve, and all the boys who are suggesting that Vancouver could actually do this, because it's very misleading to suggest that 100% of the Jays fans that were in the building over the weekend were actually from Vancouver.
Right.
People from Saskatoon fly down, Calgary, Edmonton, all over Western Canada. Yeah. They all get down there to represent.
Well, that's not happening weekend. 80 times a year.
You're not going to fill 81 games in Vancouver. You're not going to get people in Saskatoon saying, here, give me season tickets in Vancouver.
Well, I don't think you can say you can't do that for 81 games because you don't know. It's.
Do you get the impression Vancouver is a big enough city to host a baseball team?
My idea of it is, if there was that much demand, they'd have the team already.
Probably, or at least you'd hear more about
it. Here's the thing. I say yes, it's a big enough city to handle it. Is there an appetite for it? That's the because there's not an appetite
well,
here.
Well, Jamie, I told you about the Montreal. I went there. I was in the playoffs, and I went to opening night, and it was Colorado Expos, and it was packed.
Yeah.
But I looked on TV the next day at the highlights. There was 5,000 people in the building.
But that's
it was embarrassing.
I draw the correlation. Toronto's a big enough city to handle anything. They don't want an NFL team here.
Yeah, they want an NFL team here. The NFL just doesn't want to come up here.
So do you think Toronto could sell out an NFL team every night?
Absolutely. It's 8 home games.
I guess you're right, 8 home games.
I mean, listen, I know some people would look at the Argos and say the Argos have had their problems.
Well,
and they've got 9
NFL games that were here with the Bills, and I know
that's
the Bills weren't exactly world beaters.
Yeah, listen, that
those games did garbage numbers.
They didn't do well, but I don't blame Toronto for that. A, the Bills suck.
Right.
B, there's no tailgating.
C, the prices were absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Like that joint press conference with Ralph Wilson and Ted Rogers the late Ralph Wilson, the late Ted Rogers, where they were cackling up on stage about how much money they're going to make and how much they're going to charge. It was kind of insulting, I think, to people.
Right.
And the product was terrible. It also didn't help that every Bills player, when asked about it, would complain about coming up because they hated the fact.
Distraction for us.
Yeah, it's a distraction. It's not truly a home game. So I think people in Toronto were like, screw this.
Yeah.
What am I supporting the Bills for? Give me something better than that. Give me my own team.
Well, I believe that Vancouver could house it. I just, do they have an appetite?
I don't know, man. I don't know enough about the city. I would suggest that Montreal would certainly be, you know, ahead of the line in terms of Canadian cities as prospective homes for MLB teams just because of the history. We know that Montreal did have a team for 40 years.
I agree. And I loved the Expos. I thought they were awesome.
I would love a second team here.
The jerseys were awesome, too. I like their colors and their logo and everything. I thought that was cool.
I would be very curious to see how the fans would disperse if there was another team in Canada, because the Jays have done a great job of marketing themselves as Canada's team.
Yeah.
The Raptors have tried to do that. It has not
come anywhere close. It would take a long time, boy.
For that second Canadian team to get back what the Expos used to have.
But you kind of think in yourself, being a Jays fan, like, I'm not cheering for
Well, but we're different. We're from Toronto. We've been Jays fans our whole lives. You know, it's a different situation.
So me being from Edmonton, I could get on board with, like, a Western team?
I guess you could.
Like, but the Jays are in your blood, too. Like, you've always... It's all Canada's team.
Well, and now that I'm a transplant Torontonian, like, it's in my backyard. So I get to...
Would you bail on the Blue Jays? If the Expos came back, would you bail?
No, but I would keep a keen eye on the Expos, too.
So if they were better than the Jays, you might think about going Bieber.
Which could happen if the Jays don't get their you-know-what together. Like, they're not out of the woods here for that.
They're plugging away. They took two or three. Ja Happ had himself an outing. That was pretty significant. Smoke with another home run, man. The guy just keeps knocking them out.
It's nice for him.
Like, tracking his home runs, it's not to the same extent. But it was, remember when Bautista had that first big year and everyone was like, A, who is this guy?
And B, did he do it again today?
Exactly.
You're watching it saying, Smoke hit one today?
That's kind of the conversation. Like, I was at my nephew's birthday party yesterday and we're talking about Justin Smoke.
Right.
I was talking about him a couple years ago, I think, about, like, Serrano. Can't hit, like, just can't hit it.
He was so bad last year in August and September. He didn't have a hit for weeks, let alone home runs and racking up a slugging percentage or an OPS. This guy was a black hole at the plate.
Yeah.
He was unusable to the point where they're like, you sit at the end of the bench, you're a mascot now, be a good guy in the room because we can't rely on you on the field. And when Atkins signed that deal last year, giving him 2 years at $8 million, I remember thinking at that point, this is the most out-of-left-field contract signing I've ever seen, because what is the rush to sign Justin Smoke to an extension? It made no sense.
Right.
And the money didn't matter because it's not a salary cap, but the timing, it was, I want to say in July, mid-July, early July, all of a sudden this guy gets a two-year contract out of nowhere. And I'm like, he's a platoon guy who isn't doing anything. And now at $4 million per, the guy's maybe some of the best value in Major League Baseball.
Yep. It's pretty good.
$4 million for whatever he's got, 18, 19 home runs. Incredible.
It is.
So, listen, anyway, shout out to anyone that showed up in Seattle.
Well, there were a lot of people.
It was very cool.
Four.
What's that?
Four per, no? Or it's 4/2?
It's 4/. He's got 8/2.
Yeah.
Smoke steals 8/2, 4/. Which, again, if he stopped right now, the production he's given them through...
Dude, in baseball, man, $4 million?
That's nothing.
That's peanuts. That's what they were thinking. This is going to be a platoon guy, like utility guy.
Isn't that crazy? That just
hits right-handed pitching.
Give him 4 a year.
Yeah, maybe he'll give us 70, 80 games, a couple hundred plate appearances, $4 million. Now all of a sudden the guy might be going to the All-Star game, and he'll be complaining about that money. At the end of the year, he'll be talking to his agent saying, you got to start working on my next deal if I can continue at this pace.
Yeah, 1 year. What is it in baseball? Like, one good year, or you need two good years to cash in?
No, it's a lot like other sports. I mean, early in your career, you really have to be a superstar to get paid.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't have arbitration rights.
Right. Baseball has it set up where they've got control, right?
Yeah. That's why Donaldson, because he started his career so late, is still under control for the Jays for another 2 years.
He's going to make some money.
Well, if he was a UFA at the end of the year, because the bringer of rain is back.
Yeah.
Like, he won them that game yesterday, basically single-handedly.
Yeah,
like, Hap was brilliant. Hap had a great outing. The bullpen held up really well for the most part. But Donaldson...
He's rounding into form.
He's, like, back into MVP form.
Yes.
If he was truly a free agent this year, could go anywhere and was on the open market, he'd...
What type of dollars would he be?
I would think a couple hundred million, maybe, wouldn't you say?
The 30 a year?
Yeah.
30 a year.
Oh, he can give you more than that if he's healthy. And
no, I mean 30 sheets, 30 million
a
year.
Yeah, I would say so. Close to it. I mean, he's consistently been a top five player in baseball for 2 or 3 years. And he's 30. Like, you would expect he can give you another 4 or 5 years of high-end production, or you would hope that.
He's got the weird face protector.
I can't get past it. I don't like
either.
It.
It's just,
I like it because he's starting to hit with it.
Yeah. Well, he's a superstitious guy, right? Like, you can tell he starts to do some strange things. I think he's the type of guy that you'd want to have a beer with. And I don't know if he's got a significant other, but I think he's the type of guy who would be all in for, like, slump busters and talk and all of that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
You think so?
Change your underwear. Don't change your underwear. Like, he seems to me be like a routine-orientated, like, superstitious player.
So you think he's a bad weekend away from changing his helmet?
Didn't he have, like, some sort of weird... He was doing something weird last year with his socks or his, like... I can't remember. He did something different.
I mean, his hair has always been a debatable...
The other guy used to play here, too, Laurie. He was a weirdo when it came to that stuff.
Well, he's out of the league now.
That's crazy. Eh?
Like, how do you get to that point? Yeah, because he's still, by all accounts... I mean, last year he was like a replacement player. He wasn't very good, but he was okay. He should be playing somewhere. And if not here, like, jump on a bird and go to Japan or something like that.
He cracked like a dinger and ripped his shirt off and, like, was such a...
He was a Red Bull drinking lunatic at times. Anyway, all right, we'll see if we can catch up with Tim later in the hour.
Holy, what the... I'll tell you
we're
what.
We're just plugging along. Jimmy Rutherford gave us the Heisman earlier.
And Tim's
so this guy
us
was supposed to call
here.
In at 6?
I don't know what's going on, man. It's a busy time. It's game 5 tonight, ESPN.
Well, Jimmy Rutherford won his back-to-back Stanley Cups. I'd be concerned if he came on. He'd go Shania Twain.
I kind of wish that happened. If you win a cup, you can go Shania Twain. If you're just in the building,
the
you can't.
Go! Let's get some Corey Crawford sound. Like, that's what I want. I want Matt Murray to go Corey Crawford. Like, just be a lunatic.
Here I am, Chicago!
I don't see Matt Murray being that guy.
No.
I don't see. I don't know who would do that on Pitt. And if it was going to happen, it probably would have happened a year ago.
Be Phil.
Phil's got 2 cups, man.
Pittsburgh.
Phil, this second cup doesn't even mean anything, man. He's been to the dance. He's done this.
Back to back, right?
Back to back, right?
It's awesome.
2 for 2.
Jerry's percentage of a three-peat?
I want to say thin.
I can't see it, but
we all thought that, like everyone said, not with that defensive core. Not with this group.
They're just getting better, and they might get rid of some salary and just have a different dynamic.
But probability alone, like, history just tells you it doesn't happen
in the first round.
Like, it doesn't happen, right? So, you know, you can't put them right beside, like, the Vegas odds, because Vegas has a 0% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. Clearly, Pittsburgh is going to be one of the best teams, but as it currently stands, even though we know what just happened the past 2.5 months, I can't see Pittsburgh winning a cup again next year. How do you win 3 in a row? No one had won 2 in a row in 20 years. Last team that went 3 in a row, I think, was the Islanders in the early 80s. Not even the great Oilers dynasty. I think they went... They won 2, they lost 1, won 2, lost 1, and then won another one.
Is that what it was? I can't
remember. Because the Islanders won 4 in a row, and then I think Edmonton won 84, 85, the Habs won 86, Oilers won 87, 88, Calgary won 89,
there
Edmonton
won 90.
There
was the Steve Smith incident. When was that, 89?
Was that against Calgary? And then Calgary won the Cup that year in 89.
I believe
Calgary beat Montreal, I think, in the Cup final.
The Steve Smith incident, I think, was a year that Edmonton was penciled to...
Well, every year in the 80s, they were penciled in to win.
Well, you talk about Pittsburgh winning the Cup yesterday. Think about what could have been for this group with Sidney Crosby and Malkin. There was a couple years where they traded for Jerome where they were like, they were favorites. They were supposed close to win, and they couldn't do anything.
Right.
They got shut down by Boston. They couldn't score a goal.
Yeah.
There could easily be a couple more in there.
Well, you're right. They traded for Iginla, and I think they were on a 14. They'd won 14 in a row or something when they got Iginla. They were on some sort of tear. And I remember having a conversation with Jerome. He's like, how do you turn down a trade to Pittsburgh when this team was just dummying the league?
Right.
And, yeah, you're right. They lost to Boston. It's a,
well, they went to back-to-back cup finals when they first got one with Sid. And the year before, they lost to Detroit. They could have had that.
Well, we were talking about it last night on TH2N. Like, Sid's got three cups, and he's also the poster boy for concussions. He's had a really checkered career as far as...
If he played all the games and there was a couple more cups in there, there's already talk about him being a top fiver. It would be...
You think he can get the top... I think he can. I think he can, too.
He's got to be right now.
He's 29 right now.
Look at what he's just done. Stanley Cup, Conn Smythe, World Cup MVP, World Cup gold medal or champion, Conn Smythe, Stanley Cup again.
Up
what the hell
heart.
Is that?
Yeah, up for the
Rocket
heart.
Rocket Richard.
He might win the Ted Lindsay, too. Like, I think McDavid will likely get the heart. I wouldn't be shocked if the players voted Sid the best player. Like, he might get the Ted Lindsay. He's got three of those, I believe. He's got two hearts.
They had a board of his accomplishments.
He's in the running, man. He's got to be in the running for top five.
So who
is the way the game is played now and how difficult it is?
Right.
Who in your mind will he never surpass?
Gretzky and Orr are the only two for me.
Okay, so
I think he's got Mario in his sights.
I think
he legitimately does.
I was asked that this morning. When it's all said and done, can Crosby surpass Lemieux? I said at this point right now, no. Because we haven't seen where Sidney Crosby's going to end. Me playing against Mary Lemieux, there were times where I thought, and I don't know why other than just how much success Lemieux had, that there were times people chose Lemieux over Gretzky. That's how ridiculous he was.
His numbers are mind-boggling. He was so talented. You guys clearly know him better. You played against him.
Right.
You know him. That was a part of your era. But... Sid plays a very different style.
Right.
Like, we have an appreciation for the game in a different manner than we did back in the day. When Gretzky and Lemieux were doing their things, all we focused on was how many goals, how many points, that defines the best player.
Right.
We look at the game differently now. Do you drive play? How do you play defensively? How many minutes can you play? How in shape are you? You know, all that kind of stuff. Because we would joke about Lemieux sitting at his own blue line saying, I'm good.
Just give
it to me whenever you can.
And when he got it, he would score.
And he was incredible. But how many times was he probably on the ice where it was like a power play for the opponent because Lemieux's just kind of floating around, not even thinking about playing defense?
I witnessed it. He had a 2-minute and 40-second shift against us. And he was leaning on the boards in Pittsburgh. The backup.
Like, I'm talking old school elbow on the board lean.
I'm not surprised.
I'm on the ice here, but just I'm taking a break over on the far side.
And Sid plays a very different game. Sid is nowhere near as graceful. His talent doesn't shout out you the way Lemieux's talent did. But his overall impact, the way he plays, I think you can make a strong case.
I'm going to give a shout out here. Our man Ken Pagan just wrote to us. And said Steve Smith goal was in 86, then he Lloyd Christmased in 87 and redeemed himself.
Right.
Yeah. Messier gave him the cup.
But they Must were
Gretzky gave him the
cup. But they had,
Schmitty,
they had,
get over here.
They had had a, could you imagine, because they were supposed to win that year, too, in 86.
That was the year that Patrick Waugh won the Conn Smythe as a rookie went on that just miracle run, the Habs. Well, think about that. Like, it's 24 years now since the Canadian team won the cup.
Yeah.
After that Islanders dynasty, Canadian teams won the cup every year the rest of the 80s. 1990 were the Oilers.
Yeah.
Then the Pens won back-to-back years, and then the Habs won again in 93. So over the course of 10 seasons, 8 Canadian teams won the cup.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it was Canadian on Canadian cup finals.
Yeah, that's...
Right? And I mean, now, 24 years later, Canadian teams don't even get a sniff.
Well, that's going to change with the landscape of some of the teams in Canada, including Toronto.
Edmonton and Toronto.
I believe, was it the odds that Pittsburgh was high, but the Oilers were 10-1?
Yeah, the Oilers were right there. Let me find this.
Which is pretty impressive. Like, Shirelli's not going to sit on his hands this summer. Like, he's got a few assets to move potentially, too.
This is courtesy of a book out of Vegas. 2018 Stanley Cup, odds to win. Pittsburgh 9-1. Chicago, Edmonton, Tampa, and Washington are all 12-1. The Leafs are with a bunch of teams at 16-1.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
You'd like to be in the mix, or at least considered in the mix.
And they should be.
Yep.
You know, the Leafs, now, you got to remember, Vegas understands Leaf fans. There's a lot more of them. They got money. They're willing to pump some money into it and bet with their heart as opposed to betting with their minds. But considering what the Leafs did a year ago, or this past year, I mean, they pushed Washington to the brink, man.
Yep.
So
I agree.
We'll see where the Leafs are this time next year. All right, Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. We'll keep teeing that up, and we'll continue to look back on the Cup Final and keep looking ahead to what could be a wild next 2 weeks. I certainly hope so.
I hope so.
It's been all of this talk for like a year. We've been talking about Vegas and the expansion draft and
I'm telling you,
everything that's
going to
come out of it.
We always say that, though.
Every deadline, every summer, it's going to be crazy.
The stuff I'm hearing...
How many times has it been crazy?
The types of scenarios that I'm hearing, I think there's going to be a lot of craziness because you've got some general managers now that have to figure things out in a cap era. And I think there, it may not be the massive deals, but there's going to be a lot of moving around. A lot of players
I
moving.
Want massive there deals. Will be so. Some, I want big names.
I do, too.
Out of left field.
Old school 80s trades.
Yeah, let's get crazy here.
Let's get crazy and create some hypotheticals.
All right, let's throw some hypotheticals out there. And we're going to the draft in a couple of weeks in Chicago. You're going to a White Sox game on the Saturday.
By himself.
By yourself. I might stick around, and there's a reason for it. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR on TSN 2. If you cannot watch the show live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check out every hour of the show on iTunes. This Father's Day, give the old man what he really wants, and that, of course, would be pizza. Win Dad a $100 two-for-one pizza gift card every day this week on Overdrive. We're making today very easy. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 10 picks up a $100 gift card, courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. We could use a 2-for-1 Pizza down here.
Yes, we could.
TSN.
There's some people that don't have AC right now. Boy, they must be melting.
It's like, it ridiculously is, hot.
Yeah, I find safe. It weird, though, like, second hot day of the year, like, second nice day in 2 months. Heat advisory. Watch out.
Well, we can't be complaining, man. We
no
complain
kidding.
For 2 months
I get
about
it.
How
if
bad
you're 100 years old, you might not want to be going for a jog today. But
yeah, I mean, take it easy, of course. You don't have to go into hero mode, but I'll take this every day of the week over 14 and raining.
As Canadians, we can never complain about the weather.
But that's the Canadian
hot.
Way, though, is we complain all the time.
I don't like
that. You're that guy that's like, okay, bring winter back, go ahead.
I'm fine with winter. I don't like, I don't know why, for some reason. It's hot, and maybe it's more people on the road. All of a sudden, like, there's lunatics on the road that are...
That's always the case, man.
Accidents left and right. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
I was playing golf today, and this would have been hell on earth for you. Partially because we were playing golf.
Mosquitoes?
Have you played Silver Lakes? It's a forest.
I can only imagine.
It is actually a forest, and somehow they've cut out 18 holes. It's trees, and there's a little river that goes all the way through. So there's water there.
That's a mosquito.
There were so many mosquitoes.
That is
gross.
I
was getting torched.
That's where you walk to your car and you just leave.
Nah,
it wouldn't matter.
Bobby Nevin think of the skeets.
He wasn't happy either.
The old people, they don't mind them, though, no?
Like, Bob Nevin's, he's no spring chicken, but Bob was, he was kind of complaining about it. But he got out there, he was doing his thing.
That is
a pleasure
disgusting.
To play with Bob. He's
Boy,
a good
would
man.
Be a He's a legend. But
legend.
That is disgusting. Like, that's where you got to get out and spray. And I know people, I get it. There's poison, and you got to be careful and all that. But, like, you got to find a way. Find a way to get rid of these.
Find a way to get rid
like,
of mosquitoes.
Did you see Nabil? Nabil tweeted the other day, said mosquitoes are hell on earth, or something like that.
Okay, so it's good to know that the source is Nabil for defining what's what are the issues with the world.
I second that. Mosquitoes are the most useless things out there. And I know their cycle of life and all that. And
there has to be some sort of reason why they're kicking around. I don't happen to know it.
Spiders eat them, I think. I don't know.
So what, we need the spiders
food.
Now?
They're food. There's a chain of life that you need.
Not for me. They can go to hell.
I know agree. Bees are very important. We
can
need
put,
bees.
Put it this way. We can put people on the moon. We're sending people to Mars. You got to find a way to get rid of mosquitoes. That could keep the world safe.
Yeah, at least,
too.
You know, put them somewhere where we don't.
There's a thing you can put in your yard where it kills all of them in the area.
I would pay a lot of money for that.
There is. I'll tell...
Like a bug zapper or something like
no,
that?
No, it's not even that. It's just something that clears them all out in the whole area. Everyone, when I had a cottage, everyone had them. Never had a problem with bugs.
See, you know why I don't like the outdoors? It's bugs. Mosquitoes.
Right. You're not a fan.
It's disgusting.
Anyway, Game 5 NBA Finals tonight. Jack Armstrong will join us in studio here in a moment.
Maybe.
We're batting about 300 today in terms of people. I'm shocked that Ray even answered.
Gotta hold it, Ray.
Ray is the guy I actually expected to blow us off more than anyone else. He's been on the road for 3 months. He finally got back to Vancouver.
Great job by Al, the producer. He just wrote three letters down today. R-A-Y.
Ray.
There's your lineup, Jets.
Have a good, show, guys.
To be fair to Al, he did have other guys booked, but it's just one of those days,
and you
man,
know what?
That happens.
He was an emergency call-in because because Steph is lazy.
Yeah, I never got the explanation as to why Steph wasn't actually working today, because she went dark. Usually she calls me on Sunday night or calls me during the day. I never heard from her. So I decided to call her around 3. I'm like, what is going on
here? Peg Bundy. Like, I was asleep with a bag of chips on her stomach.
Yeah, she's like, nah, I've been busy. I've been in meetings.
Jack's not coming in here. I just know I can tell by what's going on. Al is clueless right now.
Look how nervous he looks, too.
Yeah, I just saw him shaking his head. I know he's not coming in here.
It's fine.
And do you blame Jack? We called Jack 5 minutes ago to bother him.
I don't blame him one bit. Here's one thing that I need to get into that O-Dog was right. Gary Bettman got booed.
You know what, though? I got to be honest. I thought it would be worse. I wasn't that impressed with the boos of
you know why? You
Bettman
know why
last night.
Because he circled back and said, you should be proud of your city. And he kind of brought it back to them and put it back on them. So they can't be booing him while they're talking about, he's talking about their city.
How rattled do you think he was when Crosby didn't hear him with the Conn Smythe?
He's taking selfies.
Sid's taking selfies. And then afterwards, the camera was on Sid, and you could tell he had no idea.
Yeah, he's like, what the hell's talking?
Oh, I won? I guess I'll go up and shake Jerry's hand.
He skated up to Bettman. You see me? He's like, I didn't hear.
Yeah,
he's like mouthing the words.
Bettman was probably staring him down and just...
Oh, for sure.
Like, are you kidding me? You're making me look like a clown up here.
Oh,
I'm sitting here waiting for you.
Yeah, 20 seconds later, he's still like Sid's taking selfies on like Haglund's phone.
I know you're a great player, but I'm the commissioner up here. Come on.
Yeah, I
figure your life out.
Oh, was right.
But
I didn't
thought,
think
didn't
he
you
would.
Think it would be worse though than that? I didn't think Bettman got hit with the worst boos. I think he's been hit worse. I think he'll be hit worse in Chicago at the draft.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because every fan base is in the building at the draft.
No, keep the booing.
You're going to want to hear this.
Yep.
Chicago, I mean, reports out there, they're going to try to move up.
That was the first, Jerry. The Schneider trade in Jersey.
In Jersey, the ninth pick overall. Corey
trade
Schneider.
To announce, and then he's like, you're going to want to hear this.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong, though.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We were there. We were waiting for something to happen.
We needed that.
We were
it was
eight
just
picks
me
in.
And you, I think, and we were dying.
That was early in our relationship, too, on the That was the first draft we did it, and I had done some work, but you were mailing that in. You were trying to talk about some prospects, and it was really difficult to break down who was good, because I didn't know either.
No.
I had read something like, oh, this is a right winger out of Brandon, like, good pick, I guess, and
I can remember
you.
Giving you a horse eye saying, I don't even want this on my desk. I'm not talking about this.
Right.
Didn't know anybody. Still don't. I don't deal with prospects. I deal with the NHL.
No, but that was a long shift, too.
There he is.
There's our
the
man.
Big man, Jack Armstrong
that
in
was,
studio.
That was a long shift.
It was.
Put in,
dude, that was like a 4 or 5 hour shift, and then the next day we were there for like the second round the next day.
And he was, you were, I had heard.
And we were in New York.
Multiple bathroom breaks and
yeah.
I was going to the bathroom every
like mid pick. The Leafs are on the clock, and he's like, I gotta go. I'm out of here. I'm doing solo bits at the NHL draft.
Nailer was there with it.
Yeah, I guess the nail gun kicked around.
We got our main man.
All right, Jack is in here. What's happening, buddy? Thanks for popping.
You guys are
in.
On the air right now.
Yeah, we're
you
on.
Be shocked sometimes.
All right, I was just grabbing a bite to eat, and here
quite
I am
the
again.
Compliment.
This is
you
riveting
guys.
Radio to you. What are you trying
he
to tell
us, BS
Jack?
And in between.
No, it's all right. right? It doesn't make you bad guys.
This is just horrible radio. That's essentially what you just
You're
told
a Giants
us.
Fan? I didn't know that.
Nah, I've been to AT&T Park.
That's my favorite baseball
stadium.
Isn't it
the best park going?
Yeah.
Would you prefer that, though, over like Wrigley or Fenway or something like the old
school Wrigley's a good time,
ones?
Too. If it's an afternoon game, I like Wrigley. You get there early, a few pops.
Right. I was going to the south side in a couple weeks. Would you be caught dead
White
in
Sox?
South Side
I've been
Chicago?
To games there.
You like it?
It's okay. I prefer Wrigley.
Oh, everybody.
But Wrigley's kind of yuppie and kind of people that aren't
like. When I go away, I like to mix in a baseball game. Just
yeah.
Especially if it's a day game.
Absolutely. I think it starts
shopping.
Your evening off right.
Got
to get primed for the evening. You know?
AT&T Park is
awesome. I would agree.
Absolutely.
Fenway, Wrigley, Yankee Stadium, yada yada.
Yeah.
But the park in San Francisco is great.
It's absolutely outstanding. Speaking of the Bay Area, they're back tonight. I'm shocked. I thought honestly Cleveland would have their doors blown off in Game 4. I really thought they would come out hot, which they did. I wasn't expecting 49 points in the first quarter, but I thought they'd shoot pretty well. They'd get off to a good start, feed off the crowd. I thought they were going to fade. It didn't happen.
Well,
were you surprised at the outcome of Game 4?
The refs helped. You know, they put them at the line a ton in the first quarter. It was a 24 attempts. Golden State got called for 12 fouls. So the refs helped a little bit. They got swept up in it a little with a very tight whistle on Golden State, and they shot the three well. I mean, going into the first game to four, the first three games, Golden State made 15 more threes. And Game 4, Cleveland made 13 more in one game. So they just dominated them on the home run ball, and they got a ton of free throws early. And, you know, the crowd got behind them, momentum built, and here you go.
Well, and Steph Curry did not play well. He didn't shoot well.
He played soft.
Yeah, he did. He
turned the ball over four times, particularly early. Mm-hmm. Looked like he had no mojo whatsoever, didn't come in. I don't know if the way the game was being officiated took him off kilter a little, Brian. I don't know, but he's got to play with a lot more force and toughness and physicality tonight.
Do you think the idea of them going 16-0 maybe factored into their mentality and their slow start a little bit?
Yeah, I think so, because of the fact that there was a day in between games and they just got slammed by every old team and every old player. And I think it was just a lot for them to deal with. And I think they might have thought it was going to be easier than they thought. They thought Cleveland was going to fold up tent and go home. And I give the Cavs a lot of credit. They showed a lot of character.
Well, if you're coaching the Warriors, aren't you kind of thinking, like, this isn't must win. We're still in a pretty good spot. But let's make sure we lock this up and get it done.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because if you're last year, they lost three deciding games against Cleveland, 5, 6, and 7, 5 and 7 at home. And then they lost a deciding game, or a game that they could clinch, a clinching game on Friday night in Game 3. So, you know, they're 36-5 at home this season. They're 8-0 in the playoffs at home this season. But they gave away Game 5 and 7 at home last year in the most important games of the season to the same Cleveland team. So they got something to prove tonight.
Is there any way in your mind you think Cleveland can come back in this series?
I think they can come back and win tonight and win
six.
Six. I don't see them winning four in a row.
Yeah.
I picked the Warriors in six, but now having watched four games, I think the Warriors either win in five or in seven, but I don't see them winning in Cleveland.
Because we were talking how this series could be 2-2.
Easily.
How they didn't allow that 11-0 run at the end of what, Game 3?
Game 3,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where I was mad, I don't know if you were mad. I was mad if you're a Cleveland fan. I didn't like Kevin Love's game that night.
He was awful.
I thought he was really, you used the term soft. Does he need to be a deciding factor? I mean, Kyrie and LeBron, you know what he's going to bring to the table. They're going to bring to the table. But is he your ex guy, or who's your ex guy?
Well, him, Tristan Thompson up front, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver on the perimeter. But Love was great in Game 4. They need that same guy. But you're right, he wasn't there in Game 3 whatsoever. And they need more from him. Inside, he's got to make three balls. He shot it well. Again, it's at home. Will he do this tonight? It's a big challenge for them. But I think Cleveland has it within them to do it. Based upon watching the first four games and the last two games in particular, the last 93 of the 96 minutes that have been played, you know, in Cleveland was the better team. So is it home court or is Cleveland figuring them out? I don't know. I still think Golden State's a better team, and at home, they should win tonight. If they don't, then they're going to have a ton of pressure on them.
Oh, that's when the nervous energy comes
in.
When you're on that plane going back to Cleveland, and yeah, they've never blown a 3-0 lead. No team has in NBA history. They've blown a 3-1 lead. So now it's already there. Like, they've been up 3-1 against this team going home in Game 5, to your point. They lose tonight. That is going to be a quiet flight back to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes a must-win, because if you put yourself back in a Game 7 situation where everything is pushing towards Cleveland's favor, and then you got the LeBron factor. Like, LeBron has been brilliant through four games. He's been outstanding. But he put forth that three-game run, games 5-7 last year, that I think may have been the most dominant three-game stretch in NBA history, and he willed them to an NBA title. I think you put LeBron, who has been tired and has admitted late in games he's been tired, but you give him a one-game opportunity with 2 days off in between games, game 7, I might lean Cavs favored. I might lean towards Cleveland winning that game if it gets that far.
The difference, obviously, is this year they have Draymond Green in the lineup.
And Kevin Durant.
And more importantly, Kevin Durant. I think Steph Curry's healthy. I think the Warriors are a better team than they were a year ago. But I will say, I think the Cavs are a better team than they were a year ago. And they got that monkey off their back. And I think right now they're playing loose. And I think they went into game 4. The reality hit them that they're probably not going to win the series, and they played very loose. I think they'll go out tonight and play very loose.
Are you a Jeff Van Gundy guy? I think you're friendly.
I've known
with
Jeff
a
long time. I coached actually with his brother Stan. We were assistants together at Fordham University in New York.
Okay, so you guys were both coaches.
I know each other. Known I know the both of them very, very
long,
well.
Long time. Now you're both color analysts. Did you hear his Kardashian rant the
yep.
other night? How did you feel about him being pro Kardashian? And be honest with us, Jeff.
Well, I've met Kim Kardashian. I don't know her, but I've met her. And when I met her, she was really sweet. She was very nice. I don't know anything of what's going on.
Right.
I thought it was odd that he even brought it up, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a reason why he brought it up. Jalen Rose was the guy that they were taking shots at, both Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. They didn't say it. But that's, and you know, obviously he's on their network. He's on the panel.
Yeah.
And I think that was a shot at Jalen, like, hey, man, you're trying to bring a lot of attention to yourself being this funny guy, controversial guy. You know.
Rose's comment.
He
was it
just,
about Kardashians?
Yeah, about the curse, yeah, the Kardashian curse.
Yeah.
But Rose isn't alone in that. Everyone talks about it all the time.
Yeah,
well, you find it odd why Van Gundy would bring it up. Why would an analyst, I would never bring up something like that on a broadcast.
I think Jeff Van Gundy coached, if I'm not mistaken, Jalen Rose in New York. I know because the Raptors trade. Jeff might have been gone already. I don't remember. But Jalen Rose, to say the least, and we had him here in Toronto, is not an easy guy to coach.
No.
And suddenly he's gone from being a royal pain when he was on a team to now being this guy with all the answers. And that happens a lot in our business. That's fine.
Yeah.
But
no, it doesn't, Jack.
I think Jeff was just firing a shot over his bow, and I think Mark Jackson kind of had the same feelings and felt that, you know, these are issues that don't belong as part of analysis. I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
know,
I think it's
I think he was
fun.
Just trying to be funny.
I think it's fun. Exactly. And to go to bat for a wife or a spouse or a girlfriend is one thing. To go to bat for the Kardashians is a very different thing. Like, the Kardashians are not like Steph Curry's wife or LeBron's. Yeah. I don't even know LeBron's wife's name. I couldn't pick her
and
out of
a crowd.
That's
the way crowd. It should be.
It,
exactly. That's the way LeBron wants it.
That's the way he wants it. I'm sure that's the way she wants it.
Yeah.
She's like, let me
right.
hang out with the kids. I'll
totally.
Come support you.
I agree.
The Kardashians, everything they do is about the brand.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows why they're popular, how they got popular. Jerry Seinfeld talked about this over the weekend. He's like, I take it personal that they are actually celebrities, because when I was coming up and trying to get on TV, it was impossible to get on TV. You had to be great or do something great to be on TV.
Yeah.
These people are on TV and no one knows what the hell they're doing. They don't do anything interesting.
And by the way,
there's nothing about them that's interesting.
I'm sure you guys get this too. People say your brand. I'm like, I'm not a bar of soap or a box of detergent. I'm right. a human being. Like when people say your brand, what does that mean?
I don't know, man.
I'm confused by all that.
We need a Jack Armstrong band.
A brand?
A brand. A band. Maybe we'll ban you from the show. I guess.
Yes. No,
we'll
don't do that. A band.
Never. You're the man.
I like singing it. I like singing after a few pops.
That's right.
I can handle it. I can sing in a band.
You've got a
not
brand.
Well.
You've got a brand. Believe me, Jack. It's a positive brand.
We love you.
Thanks for popping in, buddy.
Gentlemen. Oh, dog. Wait a minute. What's that ring you wear?
That's a good question.
Wow.
It's an Irish clatter ring, buddy.
No, that's better than my clatter ring right there. Is that a championship ring right
there?
No,
it isn't. I told you, it's an Irish clatter ring. Everybody asks, is that your Stanley Cup ring? Seriously? I'm like, no. It's an Irish
ring. And by the way, I watched minute one to minute 60 last night. That was an awesome game.
That was a fun game, wasn't it?
Good game. And the ref screwed the Predators, you know?
Didn't go well.
Quick whistle, man.
It was a quick whistle.
It happens. All right, Jack, enjoy it tonight.
Thank you, guys.
This is Jack Armstrong.
Save the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We were it was a sinking ship, man. And he admitted it when he got in here. He's like, what the
hell's
on the air?
Yeah, what the hell's going on here?
Are you
like,
on the air?
I better save this show
is
right now.
Is there ketchup on that? Are you on the air? All right, we'll get to our best bets and three stars next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Washington Home Plus against Atlanta. Boston at home against Philly, and I'll take Golden State to win by 6+ tonight. I think it ends. Throw down 20, you can score 50. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. You guys ready for the three stars?
Yes.
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
Third star, Al, our producer.
Yeah.
Got Ray Ferraro on.
Yeah, he got Ray.
We love Al, though. He's a good
man.
He did.
He stepped in.
Call me now.
I think Mulz did a pretty good job behind the window. Yeah. We didn't... This guy took Friday off. We didn't even...
That's a good point. Yeah. We missed him on Friday.
Nice long weekend.
Now
him and Larry
back.
Got
look
into the bottle.
Look at him with a glow on.
Guaranteed.
Jack.
Number one star.
Big time.
Bob Nevin.
The Leafs alumni.
Yes.
The jackets. Swass.
Everybody and everything.
Yeah.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.